You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
President Trump promised that he would bring down drug prices in the earliest days of his administration. But the New York Times reports that a draft of the executive order targeting prescription drug prices shows no promise of lower costs for consumers.
Reports say that some of the proposals in the draft of the order have actually been backed by the pharmaceutical industry, and it could do more to help them than consumers.
Doug Hirsch joins us now to tell us what goes into drug pricing. He's co-founder and co-CEO of GoodRx, a website and mobile app that tracks prescription drug prices and offers coupons for medications. Doug, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into policy on this, what is it right now that makes some drugs, not all drugs, but some drugs so expensive and their prices go up apparently so dramatically?
It's true. Brand drugs are often determined by the manufacturer themselves, right? Brand manufacturers will talk to you about the cost to develop a drug and to market a drug. And, you know, since there's only one supplier, they effectively set that drug, and there aren't a lot of legislative or other requirements that stop that manufacturer from charging whatever it is they think the market will bear. However, for generic drugs, which make up about 90% of the drugs that consumers take, those prices actually have very little to do with the cost of the drug often, and actually have more to do with the very complicated relationships between pharmacies and pharmacy benefit managers. Those are the insurance companies that control your drug costs.
And as I understand it, some of the drugs, when we read reports of a drug cost going way up, a lot of times it may be generic. Multiple companies could produce that drug, but for whatever reason, only one company does. So they get to call the shots when it comes to prices. Is that right, at least for some of the stories we see in the news?
Exactly right. I mean, you know, in any market for any product, when you have multiple people competing, you're going to see that the price tends to go down. And when there's no competition, the price goes up. And, you know, it is a free market, prescriptions are. And while there are other influences, whether it be insurance or Medicare or other factors that can affect the price, the reality is when you have a monopoly on something, you can charge a big, big number for it.
So what are some of the solutions people have talked about for those particular drugs that are so high in price?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously, you know, manufacturers have control over those. There hasn't been, we have a lot of legislation, which we can talk about today, to try to impose some sort of controls, whether that be governmental force control or else just expose pricing more so that consumers have a dialogue to discuss it. There's been, you know, more and more outrage, as you guys are aware, when someone charges $50,000 for a drug. Finally, you know, there's been press and there's been sort of negative repercussions. And so I think that's one of the few things that we have available to us, is to sort of shame drug companies into charging a more realistic price for their prescriptions.
What kind of legislation has floated around out there on those medications?
Well, you know, we saw today that it looks like any changes to the ACA are pushed back until at least, July or farther. And then, of course, we have this executive order that was theoretically going to attempt to drop the cost of drugs, but we don't see a lot in it that actually seems to have that impact.
Yeah, what is in that executive order? Again, this is a draft. This is not the real deal as of yet, but what were some of the key points there?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like it was going after a number of things that were not sort of the issues we would have expected, right? I mean, the one thing that we heard over and over again throughout the campaign from both Trump and Clinton were they wanted to allow Medicare to negotiate and allow government agencies to be able to effectively, you know, use their weight and their negotiating power to bring down the cost of the drug. And that's the one thing that we don't see at all in this draft version of the order. Instead, we see them sort of targeting the funds going to 340B, which are the programs for the least affluent people, where it looks like they're actually going to reduce the funding to 340B, which would ultimately just result in higher cost to consumers. So I'm not seeing a lot right now that actually would help decrease that cost. I think I agree with what you said, which it might actually increase the cost.
One of the measures in that executive order would protect drug companies, aims to protect drug companies' intellectual property rights in other countries. So where we see drugs being sold for cheaper right now, it would give, in theory, drug companies more control over those pricing. Is that right?
100%. And so, you know, again, we're, as a company that focuses on making sure Americans can afford their prescriptions, we're left struggling to find the silver lining here. It seems like it's going to make it even harder for consumers to have other options or find other ways to control the cost of their prescriptions.
Another issue I see raised sometimes with those brand name drugs is the brand name drug is out there. the deadline is coming up where it becomes open for other companies to produce, but then the company makes a small change, maybe in the delivery of that medication, the dosage, something like that, and is able to extend its protected status, its monopoly status on that. Is that something that's been coming up in either this executive order draft or in Congress?
You know, I have not seen a lot of mention or any specific focus on those issues. And those are the issues, as you said, that are bringing up some of these just crazy, crazy price increases where, again, you know, companies are getting smart and they're realizing, hey, if I, you know, have a drug that I'm about to lose patent on, I'll just, you know, reformulate. I've heard a story about a drug where they added a wet wipe to it at one point, and then they called it a new drug and charged, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars for it. You get really crazy examples where companies are basically just pulling that drug and reissuing it to keep that patent for another 12 years.
Let's talk about that Medicare reimbursement angle. That, as you say, it wasn't mentioned in the executive order. As I understand it, Congress would actually have to get into the act on that, too. Is that something that would really bring down prices? Would it maybe bring down prices for the Medicare system but not affect anybody buying it on the private market? How would that shape the market?
Yeah, it would have a huge impact on the market because, first of all, about 40% of Americans get their prescriptions through some sort of federally funded program. And so if you enable not just Medicare but other federal agencies to be able to use their weight, right, and to be able to basically say to drug companies, hey, I'm not going to buy this drug unless it's more fair priced. I think you'd see a tremendous impact, and I think that impact would trickle down across other, into private insurance and to uninsured Americans as well, where they would, you'd see some sort of parity across the various markets, where consumers, whether they have private insurance or uninsured or Medicare, would ultimately benefit from just drugs that come in at a lower price.
We're talking to Doug Hirsch from the company GoodRx, looking at prescription drug pricing, a possible executive order on the way from President Trump, looking at various issues in what sets drug prices. Doug, what is a consumer to do? I think most people, if they're paying out of pocket, they go. If they get prescribed a drug, they pay the price the person tells them to pay, or they don't get the drug at all, I guess. Is there room for maneuver for consumers?
Yeah, so, you know, it used to be a few years ago that consumers had insurance and they thought everything is good and I don't have to worry about my drug price. I just pay my $10 copay and that's it. The reality is that, you know, insurance has really scaled itself back a lot. And today consumers are seeing outrageous prices for even cheap generics where, you know, a drug that should cost $5 to $10 can cost $200 because their insurance just simply won't cover it. And because of the weird nature of our healthcare system, you end up paying $200 for something that should cost $5. And so really it's not a question of, oh, you know, I have insurance, I'm good, or I'm not insured and I have an issue. It's the underinsured of America, which is the vast majority of folks who need to do their research. And what we do is we gather billions of prices at every pharmacy across the country, as well as various discounts, which are often lower than your copay, and bring them together so a consumer can basically understand what they're supposed to pay for this prescription.
What is transparency like? Do we as consumers have the information we need, apart from the information you're gathering there? Can we see what we need to assess whether this is a reasonable price or not?
That's the problem. Is there's never really been a language around prescription drug pricing, right? You know, you go to the doctor, you get a prescription. The doctor doesn't talk about it. He just wants you to take what he thinks is best for you. You show up at the pharmacy, you get sticker shock. And so, you know, GoodRx has taken great pains to bring together this information so a consumer knows prior to showing up at the pharmacy what this drug's going to cost so they can talk to their doctor and say, hey, you know, maybe $500 is not the right option. Is there a lower cost drug? Is there a discount available? Is there a manufacturer copay card? There's many, many options available to consumers to bring down the cost of that drug, but it only works if you know about it.
I've heard proposals. I've heard this idea floated for something called value-based drug pricing. What is that?
Yeah, so the idea of value-based pricing is basically to look at the effectiveness of the drug, right? And to say, okay, well, you know, if I, as an insurance company, am going to give you access to this drug or make it inexpensive for you, what is the long-term impact on your health? The challenge is that that's not how the U.S. healthcare system is really set up. The U.S. healthcare system, you know, if I'm your employer right now and I worry about your healthcare today, I might not be worried about what its impact is on you when you're 70 or 80. And so, you know, if we had a single-payer system in this country where it was ultimately the same person, aka the government, who was keeping their eye on you, then they would be incentivized to keep you healthy now. I think it's a great idea. I'm just concerned that the financial motivations are not in place for your current insurance company to care about your health maybe 20 or 30 years from now.
Another argument people have been having is the idea of importing drugs, allowing imports from other countries that, in theory, American consumers could get cheaper than is currently available. Is that something that would actually have an impact?
That's a fun topic. I think for brand drugs, there's tremendous upside in using other countries to create competition and to basically try to level the playing field, because brand drugs are so expensive in America relative to other countries. On the generic side, what most Americans don't know is actually oftentimes generic drugs are cheaper in the U.S. than they are in, say, Canada, because of the competition and because of the sort of unregulated market that we have. And so, again, generic drugs make up over 80% of the prescriptions Americans take. So for your generics, I'd stay close to home and just see what options exist outside of your copay. But for brands, it would be a tremendous help to the U.S. population.
On the flip side of all this is the pharmaceutical industry. You mentioned earlier they need revenue coming from something to do R&D and do, you know, pursue a lot of blind alleys. Ultimately, a lot of research that they do never ends up in medication. If we're too successful at lowering the money going to them, do we end up killing the goose that lays the golden egg, i.e. the medications we rely on?
Yeah, I mean, the challenge that we have as a country is not necessarily that there's one bad actor. It's we have a situation where we have drug companies who are motivated to make as much profit for their shareholders. We have PBMs, or insurance companies, who are motivated to make as much profit for their shareholders. We have companies and plans who are trying to save as much money as possible for their patients or employees. And so, unfortunately, it's sort of the natural outcome of the system. When everyone's motivated to make or save as much money as possible, you end up with what we have. It'll be really interesting to see how we solve this one.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Doug, we've had a lot of arguments over healthcare and insurance in this company. Have we been paying enough attention to the issue of how much prescriptions cost?
I don't think so. You know, my company, I've spent the last 6 years trying to make sure consumers know how much it costs when they show up at the pharmacy, and we have a long way to go.
Doug, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Doug Hirsch, co-founder and co-CEO of GoodRx, a website and mobile app that tracks prescription drug prices. It also offers coupons for medications. He joins us to talk about the costs of prescription medications as the Trump administration drafts an executive order targeting drug prices.